Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Welcome to worship on Easter Sunday. I'm Pastor Molly Vetter, and it's my joy to welcome you to worship from Westwood Church in Los Angeles. Thank you for being with us as we celebrate resurrection. We are a community that gives thanks for the diversity of people who gather together in this community. We celebrate and affirm the gifts of our diversity of age and race, gender identity, and sexual orientation. You are welcome in this place, and we're glad that you've joined us for worship today. I hope that you'll participate as much as you're ready. You can download our worship guide so you'll have words and music to sing and pray along. Later in our worship, we'll share the sacrament of Holy Communion, and everyone is welcome at Christ's table. We hope that you will participate from home. Now, as we worship, I look forward to celebrating with joy today. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you. By Kimberly Brackett Long. Holy One, you come to us with power beyond all knowing. You lift all things out of the dust. You breathe love into every cell. You call us into communion with you, and you claim victory over death. Blessed be your name, now and forever. As we worship, open our eyes and soften our hearts, O God, through the work of your Holy Spirit, that in the hearing of your word, we may receive new life. Amen.
Hear the word of God from Acts, chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are all witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as the judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading, the Easter story, is from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
When our hearts are weary, grieving, or in pain, Jesus' touch can call us back to life again. Fields of our hearts that dead and bare have been, love is come again. That springeth green.
Will you pray with me? O Holy God, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. This Easter Sunday, our second in pandemic, has had me nostalgic for Easter's past. I've been thinking about childhood memories of Easter. I loved Easter as a kid. I think I was more excited to get up on Easter morning than I was even on Christmas. I don't know if it's because there were things to do early in the morning to gather with others on Easter. I grew up in a church that always had a sunrise service that gathered together as a community. And I, as an extrovert, have always loved the chance to get together with others. On Easter morning, there was the excitement of our home traditions of Easter baskets and egg hunts and searching for jelly beans hidden in the house all day. And there was the excitement of the community gathered together, of going to church for a strange early morning worship service, of the pomp and circumstance of Easter worship with loud singing and a sanctuary full of people and everyone dressed their finest. Egg casseroles in between, and a chance to sit and eat together. I have one particularly vivid memory of an Easter sunrise service from my childhood. In my memory, it happened when I was in the sixth grade. I think that's the case because the seventh and eighth grade confirmation class was in charge of planning the Easter sunrise service, and I was too young to be involved, but I knew all the kids who were helping. The Easter sunrise service always was held outside on the church property. Our church in central Nebraska was on the edge of town, near a newish subdivision that had lots of young families, which is why our congregation life mostly revolved around the families in the church. The church property itself was on the edge of town. This is a very flat part of the U.S. and mostly treeless. The church property had just behind it a field that was planted, a farm field. The line between the church property and the farm was marked with a row of trees, a windbreak that separated the two properties. This year, the confirmation class had planned the Easter service, the Easter sunrise worship, as a little journey around the property, stopping at various moments to hear different parts of the Easter story. One of the kids in the confirmation class, named Pat, was assigned the role of being an angel at the tomb. Our acolyte robes were harvest gold, not dazzling white, but Pat wore one to wait in the row of trees for our small crowd of worshipers to arrive there in order to announce that Christ had risen. Pat was a very good-natured and loving and sort of quiet kid. And as he waited there in the row of trees for the group of worshipers to arrive, a whole bunch of birds that had been spending the night there in the trees awakened and made a lot of noise as they got up and flew away. This was startling and uncomfortable to Pat, so that when we got to him, instead of the lines that he planned to deliver, he simply said, "He's not here, go away." We laughed in the moment and have enjoyed retelling the memory over and over in the years that followed. His ordinary human temptation to succumb to fear in the face of loud birds caused him to condense the Easter proclamation to these very simple lines. But as I reflect on them in the intervening time and even this year, his announcement maybe isn't all that bad, isn't all that off of how the news of Easter works. "He's not here, go away," is an invitation to receive news that seems impossible and to let it change us so that we're sent out into the world to do the love of Christ wherever we go. Those first disciples and faithful companions to Jesus who encountered the open tomb on Easter morning also didn't know what was going on. In John's Gospel, the text we read today, it's Mary who comes early in the morning, and when she sees the stone gone, she is disturbed enough to go and find two of the other disciples. They have a foot race to come and see what's going on. The first looks in and sees the empty tomb and the wrappings, the cloths that had been wrapped around Jesus' body for burial lying there in the tomb. The second disciple goes in and sees its emptiness, and then the first follows in. In the tomb, it says that they believed. But because of the words that follow about them not understanding what was happening, it seems that what they believed was not the fullness of the power of resurrection. What they believed was the story that Mary told, that the stone was rolled away and that Jesus' body was missing. This news was startling and disconcerting. And all these years later, as we celebrate Easter, it sometimes seems that we know what we're supposed to do to celebrate. We get trumpets, and there's lilies. We share food and break bread with loved ones. We sing, "Christ the Lord is risen today," and maybe end with a hallelujah chorus. These patterns and rituals for worship have been accumulated by the church over the millennia as we seek to celebrate the magnitude of this day. But there's something about Easter that seeks always to unsettle us, to make us just a little bit afraid, because God is working in the world in ways that are uncomfortable to the ways that we had understood life and power and love working. Easter is a disruption, a startling and a waking up to a something more, a something that refuses to let us be satisfied with our own individual success. Easter refuses to let us be afraid of the violence and threats of others. Easter refuses to let us be the kind of community where some are oppressed and others experience privilege. Easter unsettles us all. And it begins with this uncomfortable moment of uncertainty as the empty tomb dislodges expectations of what happens to the body of a loved one after dying. And unsettles those disciples, forcing them to look further. They think they're looking for the body of one they have loved and lost. But their looking helps them find something far different, far bigger, far more wonderful. They're searching for the body of Christ. They're asking of questions. They're seeking to know more. Becomes an encounter with a different way of understanding life and power and eternity. Mary, there in the garden, has an encounter with the risen Christ himself. And she's not able to see that it's him. Everything has been changed and destabilized. And this is what Easter is for us. It's an opening that reminds us that everything has changed, that the world as we assumed it would always be, that death as a final answer to life, that power can be forced on others, all of that is upset and unsettled by the good news of a love arisen from the grave. Just 3 days previous, Jesus is executed in a collusion of power from politics and religion, who put him to death as a threat to the way things are, who used tremendous military and economic power to simply silence and end his proclamation of a new world, of a beloved community. But the power at work in God is stronger even than the deadliest alliance of worldly power. No political empire, no combination of religious fervor and fear can stop the movement of God. The resurrection of Christ as it comes into the world and gives hope and life. And there's so much that seems dead and broken this year in this world as we reckon with the realities of institutionalized racism built into our structures and that emerges in ways that create real danger for people on the street, for our Asian American community members and neighbors, for Black Americans, for people of color, for our queer kin, for anyone who is outside the expectations of the dominant powers that be in white supremacy. There is so much need for assurance that another power is greater. And in the midst of pandemic, as the numbers of lives lost continue to grow, we mourn the deaths of more than 500,000 U.S. Americans and approaching 3 million worldwide as we contemplate the tremendous human cost of a deadly disease, as we see the ramifications of slowness and failure to act. We see in this moment of pandemic an economic divide that separates those with wealth from those who have increasingly scarce access to security and safety and well-being. And in this moment, we're called, we're beckoned out of every grave with hope of new life. There are challenges and problems that we have to face as a people together as we attempt to overcome legacies of racism and division, as we work to create economic opportunities that lead to life for all, as we seek to live with the human scars of our mortality and our physical limitations, as we as a planet seek to overcome this moment of threat from global climate change, we're asked to do things in a different way. But we don't have to begin from nothing, because we have this assurance, this glimpse of a power that's stronger even than death. This is the good news of Easter. It comes to us in the grave, whether that's the tomb that we've been living in or the one we've just entered to look for the loved ones we've lost. But Easter comes to us in that space of death and beckons us out to new life. It draws us to be people of great hope, and it invites us, it requires us to do it together. It's so hard this year and last to celebrate Easter in isolation in our separate spaces, our homes, and places where we are, because Easter is about drawing us together. The gift of the church is that we become the body of Christ together, a community of strange and wondrous, of diverse and beautiful people that would have never chosen each other, except that the Holy Spirit draws us together by the power of resurrection and asserts again and again that each of us belongs and matters, that every one of us has a beautiful part to play in the life of the community, a distinct voice that no one else can lift. And at the same time, the Holy Spirit beckons us to understand and finally let it sink in that this means that we need each other, that we belong to each other. And so on Easter, we have to be community together. This good news is not meant for us in isolation, although it is forgiveness of sins that completely transforms who we are. The forgiveness of sins exists so that we can be reconciled to one another, so that we can engage and re-engage community and our belonging in the whole of things, our belonging on the earth itself. And so this Easter morning, on this first Sunday of the month, as is our habit, we share in the sacrament of Holy Communion. Normally, we share Holy Communion at this communion table here in our chancel, but today we share Holy Communion in all of the places where we are. It's required a little bit of flexibility in terms of our understanding of sacramental theology, because ordinarily in communion we emphasize that we share one loaf brought not by our own selves but gathered as the community, a gift of God given to us. And that as that one loaf is broken, it's shared with all of us, all of us who gather in this space, the one becoming many. But today as we gather in virtual space, the Holy Spirit has already united us together. And the gifts that we have, whatever bread or bread product you have at home that you can use to share in the sacrament of communion, it is a gift of God, a provisioning that reminds us that we stand in the blessing of divine love. And as we share one cup, as we drink together grape juice or wine or some other beverage from the earth, we remember that cup of forgiveness as it connects us to the gift of Christ's outpoured self-offering love. Christ, who goes through death on a cross to claim a power of life and love even stronger in resurrection, offers that gift so that we can take it into our own selves, an outpouring of connection and blessing, of forgiveness and grace. So this morning, I hope you will participate in the sacrament of Holy Communion from where you are, with what you have in your home. I hope that you'll say some of the words along with us, that you'll connect your heart to ours as we pray together, and that you'll taste in the bread and in the cup a reminder of God's blessing on you, that you'll believe that you are uniquely gifted with a blessing and a presence of God's own image imprinted in your beautiful body and self, that you might receive and know a deep and precious love for you. And as you taste that bread and drink from that cup, I pray that you will know that you belong to this community, to the Church of Christ in every place that links us from congregation to congregation across space and through time as we become a part of the body of Christ, alive in resurrection, ready to say yes to what God is doing here and now. And then we'll hear Pat again saying, "He's not here, go away." As we, each one of us, are called out into the world to let the love and transformation of resurrection make a difference for how we see ourselves and believe our calling. We are called to do justice and love kindness, to speak up with our own voices as a living and ongoing proclamation of grace and mercy. Because Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning. Please join me in this Easter prayer for the people. Loving God, living God, healing God. Long ago, faithful women proclaimed the good news of Jesus' resurrection, and the world was changed forever. Teach us to keep faith with them, that our witness may be as bold, our love as deep, and our faith as true. Open our hearts to your power moving around us and between us and within us. Until your justice is revealed in our love and care of both friend, neighbor, creation, and those who are distant from us. May your radical love and grace transform communities for justice and with compassion so that healing may occur for all that are broken, discarded, and harmed by systems of oppression, supremacy, hate, and misunderstanding. We lift our prayers today for the many families who struggle to put food on their tables, to find and maintain safe and affordable housing, to access education and healthcare to ensure the well-being and health of all. We lift our prayers for those who are willing to place their lives on the line for others, our essential workers, firefighters, nurses, janitors, caregivers, teachers, and all who offer your grace and hope. We pray for those who live in harm's way, where their existence is challenged, where their right to exist is denied, where their sacred value is questioned. On this day of renewal, let us remember to live into that hope of resurrection and new life each day as we proclaim the good news of your justice and mercy available to all without exception. Receive these prayers, O God, and transform us through them that we may have eyes to see and hearts to understand not only what you do on our behalf, but on what you call us to do so that your beloved community will be known and be vital and experienced throughout all of creation. We do this in the blessed and risen name of Christ. Amen.
As a part of our Easter worship, we share in the sacrament of Holy Communion. Everyone is welcome at Christ's table. You don't need to be a member of this church or of any particular age to receive the sacrament. I encourage you to use elements from where you are, some kind of bread and grape juice or wine or drink that you have. As we prepare to celebrate the sacrament, I invite you to join me in a prayer of confession. Let us pray. All-loving God, we confess that even on this holy day, we find it hard to believe in the victory over death shown to us in the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. We confess that we need you for life, and also for faith, hope, and love. Without your astonishing appearance to our ancestors and your stunning presence throughout the ages, we would be lost. Forgive us and transform us, that in every way our work and prayer will make whole what is broken, and give peace on earth. Amen. By the grace of God and the witness of our ancestors, the good news of Jesus' resurrection is our rock and our salvation. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, I declare to you the forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, who lives and reigns as mother of us all, now and forever. Amen. Let us prepare our tables for sacrament.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
In every time and every age, O God, it is good and faithful that we give you thanks. For your mercy is sure, and your steadfast love endures forever. In your compassion, you gave us Christ Jesus.
And so, with all of creation, with all the needy and hungry ones, with all those who have enough and plenty, with creatures large and small, with sun and moon and stars, and with the saints of every age, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, O God, creator of all things. By your power and love, you continue to deliver your people from bondage, thwart the designs of evil, show the way through the wilderness, turn hardship into righteousness, and reveal your hand upholding the just.
Blessed are you, O Christ, servant of the universe. You came among us to feed and heal and teach, to confound the haughty, to confuse the tricksters, to challenge the wrong-hearted, and in all of these things, to give hope to those who long for peace.
We remember that on the night he was betrayed, having gathered his friends at the table, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
And again, after supper, he took the cup and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me."
Remembering our Lord's self-giving love, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Blessed are you, O Spirit, giver of life. You give us words when we have none. You fill us with vision when we have the most need. You give us voice to proclaim our faith in every hour. Be our guide and teacher today and always.
Come now, O Prince of Peace, Spirit of love, breath of life. Bring to all this hurting world the joy that Mary knew. And teach us to proclaim with her, "I have seen the Lord." In the unity of the Holy Trinity, in gratitude for this day of resurrection, we praise you, God, of all that is, now and forever. Amen.
Let us join in the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and power and glory forever. Amen.
Even though we are many people in different physical places, we are one body in Christ and share in one common meal of grace. The bread we share across physical distance is a sharing in the very body of Christ. This is the body of Christ given for you.
We share one cup, and it is a sign that we belong in the new covenant of Christ's love. This is the cup of salvation shared freely.
Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us for worship today. I hope you have felt the joy of resurrection with you where you are. Especially if you're new, I encourage you to go to westwoodumc.org/connect to share some information with us, including signing up for our e-news or sharing a prayer concern. You can also give tithes and offerings in support of the church through our website, and you can contribute to our Easter offering, which is a special invitation to give to projects in the community outside of the ordinary budget of the church, including our partnership relationship with the Echo Park Refugee Welcome Center and a fund that's helping alleviate some human needs unmet during this season of pandemic. I encourage you to share in our work of Easter by giving. I want to thank you for your participation in the work of the community and give thanks that we get to be the body of Christ together. Now, as we prepare to sing Alleluia one more time, I pray that you would know the gift of resurrection, that it would say a yes into a world full of death and despair, that it would bring hope to you and to others, that you might find your place in the work of living eternal love here and now. So go, be the church, be in peace. Amen.